During the American Revolutionary War, there was a pastor by the name of Peter Miller who lived in Ephrata, Pennsylvania. Although Pastor Miller was greatly loved by everyone in the community, there was one man, Michael Widman, who lived near the church and hated him, the pastor. And he had earned a reputation for the abuse of this minister. The man was not only a hater of this pastor, but it also turns out that he was a traitor to his country. He was convicted of treason and sentenced to death. The trial was conducted in Philadelphia, and no sooner did Pastor Miller hear about it than he set out on foot to visit General Washington and intercede for this man's life. But General Washington told him, "I'm sorry, I cannot grant your request for your friend." "Friend?" Pastor cried out. "Why, that man is the worst enemy I have in the world." "What?" exclaimed the general in surprise. "Have you walked 60 miles to save the life of an enemy? That, in my judgment, puts this matter in a different light. I will grant him a pardon for your sake." The pardon was made out and signed by General Washington, and Miller proceeded at once on foot to a place 15 miles away where the execution was scheduled to take place. He arrived there just as the man was being carried to the scaffold. And when he saw Miller hurrying towards the place, he remarked, "There is old Peter Miller. He has walked all the way from Ephrata to have his revenge gratified today to see me hung." But scarcely had he spoken those words when Pastor Miller pushed his way to the condemned man and handed him a pardon that saved his life. See, Pastor Miller walked into the empty place of Michael Widman's life to bring him life and hope. Today, I want to look at a simple story of Jesus' interaction with a man named Simon and how Jesus walked into the empty places of Simon's life. The story I want to turn our attention to is found in the Gospel of Luke chapter 5. We're going to read the account between verses 1 and 11, but we're going to break it up as we go this morning. So let's read the first part of that story. So Luke 5 verse 1 says this: "One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret," that's the Sea of Galilee, "the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat." The first thing I want you to see in this story is that Jesus visits you at your empty place. As this story unfolds, we're told that the crowds are pressing around Jesus. So what I'm imagining in my imagination is they're on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And the people are coming around because they want to hear what Jesus is saying. They want Jesus to teach them. And they're enamored by Jesus and all that's going on. And the crowds are pushing in. So I have this idea that it's hard for them to see and or hear Jesus. And he comes up with a solution. See, Jesus saw the fishermen washing their nets. Now, you and I are probably not fishermen from the Sea of Galilee, but this is a fact that the nets, after you fish, if you do not wash the nets and stretch them out to dry, they will rot and break. So fishermen at the end of every time of fishing would go through this ordeal of cleaning out the nets. So this means they were done fishing for the day. Jesus saw, or probably even just knew, that they had fished all night and caught no fish, that the nets had been empty, that their boats are empty, and that means their bank accounts are empty. And these fishermen are cleaning up from the night of fishing and preparing for the next night's work. And Jesus sees the boats and he asks Simon, the owner of one of the boats, to push out the boat. And Jesus gets in it and goes with him. Now, do you think this was by chance that Jesus showed up? I say, absolutely not. Jesus sought out Simon and his empty boat. And this happened on purpose for a couple of reasons. First, the crowd needed to hear and see Jesus. So Jesus used the boat as his platform, as his podium, if you would. I imagine they put out a little distance from shore, and then Jesus sat in the boat, and the crowd faced him. Maybe they sat down, and Jesus sitting in the boat taught them for a while. But there's a second reason here, I believe. Simon needed Jesus to visit his empty place. Maybe he was discouraged because he had fished all night and had nothing to show for it. Maybe Simon was feeling a need for a bigger purpose in his life. We don't know all that's going on in Simon's heart and mind, but we know that Jesus had a specific purpose for meeting up with Simon that day. See, there are times when we all face the empty places in our lives. Maybe you're discouraged because something you've been anticipating has not happened yet. Or maybe you're unhappy with the way the plans that you had for your life are unfolding. They're not exactly what you had worked out in your dreams and in your minds. Maybe you've had some bigger dreams for your life and they've been quashed. And I think we have all faced empty places in our lives at some point. And this story of the empty place for Peter reminds me of a story of a prophet of God from the Old Testament called Elijah. If you want to look up his story, it's in 1 Kings chapter 19, but let me give you the short version of the story. God had just used Elijah powerfully on a place called Mount Carmel. Elijah had faced off against the prophets of Baal, and God had shown himself. He had answered with fire and consumed the offering that was there. And the prophets of Baal, the false prophets, were put to death. And Elijah was a great victor. But there's a problem. There's a woman named Jezebel. She's married to King Ahab, the king of Israel. And she's not happy with Elijah's victory. And she makes a proclamation and she decides, I am going to kill that man, Elijah. And she scares him away. And Elijah runs away, and in his distress, he runs out into the desert to hide. In fact, he's so discouraged. He's so worn out that he cries out to God. He says, God, go ahead, let me die. I am the only prophet left in the nation. Now, that's a vast exaggeration. He wasn't the only prophet of God left, but he felt that way. He was saying, God, let me die in this empty place because I feel so empty and alone. And he falls asleep, and the story says, twice an angel of the Lord was sent to Elijah who baked him fresh bread and gave him fresh water to drink. And so the angel woke him and he ate and he went back to sleep. The angel did it again. And after he had eaten and refreshed himself and got his strength back, he traveled 40 days to a place called Mount Horeb. And at that place, God had a mighty encounter with Elijah. And in a whisper, he gives him the direction for his life and the direction for the nation. See, God came to Elijah in the empty place of his life. Jesus visits Simon in the empty place of his life. And God will visit you in the empty place of your life. Have you ever been in an empty place in your life and you called out to God? Have you ever asked God if He had forgotten you? Have you even maybe said, God, are you even there anymore? God, I feel so alone, but I want to remind you today that you are not alone. Remember this, Jesus wants to meet you at the empty places of your life. You just need to be willing to allow Jesus into your empty place, just like Simon allowed Jesus into the boat. And you need to let Jesus be Jesus. We pick up our story in verse 4, where we read these words. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. See, Jesus wants to make your empty place a filled place. After Jesus had finished teaching and he's done, he turns to Simon and he basically says, "Go out to deep water and let the nets down." Well, it was a well-known fact in that day that in the Sea of Galilee, you caught fish at night in shallow water, not in the daytime in the deep water. Simon and his partners had fished all night and caught no fish. Jesus asked Peter to do what was contrary to his training and to his experience. But Simon chose to obey. Not because it makes sense, but because Jesus said so. This is what he said. "Because you said so, I will let down the nets." Simon dared to trust Jesus' word. It reminds me of the prophet Samuel in 1 Samuel 15, 22, where he says, "What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? Obedience is far better than sacrifice. Listening to him is much better than offering the fat of rams." See, God wants your obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. Notice it doesn't say you obey instead of sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. You don't have to totally understand what God is saying at the time. You just need to willingly obey him. Often, things don't make sense to us in the moment. Often when God whispers something into our spirits or says something to us, it doesn't make sense to us right away, but as we step out in faith, we see that God knows best. It's always easy to look back and see life in the past and understand how it makes sense, but we need to be willing to trust and obey God in the moment. Simon has knowledge and experience that tells him it makes no sense, but he also has something in his spirit that is longing to believe this Jesus. "Because you said so, I will." I think believers often miss out on what God has because we refuse the lessons of obedience. The lack of obedience is often the roadblock to answered prayer. We refuse to obey all of God's word. But we expect to receive all of the blessings and all of the promises. But it doesn't work that way. You can't claim all the blessings and all the promises without living and obeying the full counsel of God's word. You can't just pick and choose the things that you like in the word of God and do those, and the things that you find difficult and the things that you disagree with, you can't leave those out and say, "I don't buy that." No, we have to follow the full counsel of God's word. In fact, we talked about this a little bit in our small group this past week. In our small group, we were talking about the wisdom of God. And we defined that wisdom is learning to apply the biblical truth, the word of God, to our own life situations. We need that kind of wisdom that comes from the word of God. We need obedience to the word of God. It reminds me of another story out of the Old Testament. This one is found in 2 Kings chapter 4. It's a story about a widow with two sons. Her husband had died, and because he had died a little bit prematurely, I guess, they had a lot of debts. And the debtors were coming to collect. And so she goes to the prophet Elisha for help. Now, she goes to him because her husband had been one of the prophets. He had been in the company of prophets. And Elisha asks her, well, what do you have at home? And she goes, we don't have much of anything left. I have a little bit of oil in a jar. The prophet said to her, well, go to all of your neighbors and collect as many jars as you can from them, empty jars, empty vessels. Bring them all into your house. And when you've collected them all, take your little bit of oil and start to pour it out and fill those vessels. And so that's what they did. And the oil never ran out till they filled the last vessel. Then the prophet said to her, now go sell all of that oil. Pay off all your debts and there'll be enough left over for you to live on. See, the empty places became the full places. Peter obeys Jesus and he throws his nets overboard in the deep. And the Bible tells us, we read it, he caught so many fish that the nets began to break and the boats began to sink. This was a result of obedience. Jesus spoke without a sermon. Simon, these are the empty places of your life, but I have come to fill them. See, when Jesus moves into your life, he totally destroys your thinking. It doesn't make sense to fish in the deep at that time of day, but Jesus said so. See, Jesus wants to make your empty place full. But you need to live out in obedience to what he says. The widow was obedient to collect as many empty vessels as possible and to continue to pour oil into them. She was obedient to the word of the prophet. Simon saw the nets and the boats full to overflowing by obeying Jesus' command. And Jesus made the empty nets and the empty boats full. We read the last part of the story as we look at verse 8, and it says this. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. See, Jesus makes your empty place a miracle place. Now, the empty place became a full place, not just of fish, but because of the holiness and the power of God. Simon Peter told Jesus, leave, because I'm a sinful man. He said it this way, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. See, Peter wasn't concerned about the mighty catch of fish, but only about the one who was sitting in his boat. Jesus met Peter at his empty place, not just the empty boat, but possibly his empty life. And Jesus called him to follow him and become fishers of men. Peter went on to leave everything that day, and he followed Jesus with the rest of his life. Peter did not worship the catch of fish. Catch this, Peter worshiped Jesus. See, sometimes we have gotten it wrong. We have worshiped the miracle. We have sought the blessing. We have looked for God's interaction, and we have sought the blessing and the miracle instead of the miracle maker and the blesser. It's time that we learn that we need to worship Jesus for who he is. If you have been worshiping the wrong thing, you can change that. You can turn that around today. You can begin to do what Peter did. Peter took his eyes off the miraculous catch of fish, and he fixated on the Jesus who was sitting in his boat. Peter understood that Jesus was more important than the miracle. That Jesus was more important than the blessing. Are you facing an empty place in your life? Can you identify with Peter or Elijah or the widow? You know what it is to have an empty place in your life. You know that it's hard and it feels overwhelming. It's sometimes lonely and you wonder if there's any hope. You can't even find the light at the end of the tunnel. You know what it is to be in an empty place. But I want you to know this. Jesus cares for you. What he did for Simon, he will do for you. Jesus wants to make your empty place the full place. Jesus wants to make your empty place the place of your miracle. If that's you today, if you're watching and listening to me today and you're saying, Pastor, that's me. I'm in that empty place. I just have no joy. I have no hope. I don't even know if God loves me or cares for me anymore. I want to pray for you. So would you just, if that's you, would just close your eyes and accept this prayer. But more than that, would you look to Jesus? Look to Jesus. That's what Peter did. Peter, look to Jesus. Would you look to Jesus as I pray? Father, I thank you today that you are the one who walks into our empty places. Jesus, we thank you that you love us enough to meet us in our empty places, and you love us enough not to leave us empty, but you make our empty places full. You make our empty places the places of miracles in our lives. So Jesus, I ask today for those who are watching and listening, for those who are honest with you today, for those who are saying, yes, that's me. I'm empty. I'm hurting. I'm lonely. Maybe you're afraid. So Jesus, I ask right now today that you walk into those empty places. That you would walk into those people's lives. And you would make those empty places full again. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you're watching this morning and as well you're saying, Pastor, you're talking about these stories and you're talking about Jesus and I don't know Jesus and I want to know Jesus. Well, I want you to know that we want to help you know Jesus. And so if you pick up your phone right now and you text me the word love to 416-267-1189 and then quickly follow the prompts that are going to ask for your name and a way we can reach back to you. We want to help you to know Jesus. We want to introduce you to Jesus and we want to help you walk with Jesus for the rest of your life. So go ahead, text the word love to that number, and we will reach back to you. I promise we will, and we'll do that as soon as we can. So congratulations for doing that and for being open to what Jesus wants to do in your life.